This is Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with freshman history major Andy Jang. We talk about his family history, his life on campus, and his experiences living with autism. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Voices of UCM. I'm your host, Andrew Zoner, and today I'm sitting down with a freshman history major, Andy Jang. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, actually. Could always be worse, could be better.
Okay. That's always good, yeah. Is your week going good?
Yeah, decent enough. I have a essay due next week, but I'm going to work over that over the weekend. So.
Okay, that's good that we're getting that figured out then. Do you have any midterms?
Yeah, actually, one of them is a midterm. Okay. It's luckily I could take it over Zoom or online.
Oh, you can do it online, yeah. Okay, that's good at least. Those are always nice just because you don't have to, like, go in physically for them.
Tell me about
so,
it.
So that's always nice because, I mean, like, the testing environment at, like, home when you're, like, kind of like, okay, I'm a bit more relaxed at or like, in public in general. But, like, when you're in, like, the room itself, it's like, okay, this is kind of stressful. Because you're next to people and stuff.
But the only issue is usually you get really distracted while,
that's
like, if you have, like, an Xbox and other habits.
Other stuff like that, yeah. that's the one downside of that, unfortunately.
Tell me about it.
All right, well, what initially drew you to, like, coming to UCM?
Small campus, and it's close enough that I could go home if there was an emergency.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Close enough that if I feel independent. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a common reason I've heard as general, like, oh, yeah, this is, like, it's, like, close to home. For most people, there's some people who, like, come out of state and stuff, obviously. But, like, for most people, it's, like, oh, yeah, it's kind of close to home to where – but it's, like, big enough to where there's, like, stuff – there's kind of some stuff to do.
Yeah.
And then you can also, like, be independent while still being – having that safety net at home.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my parents always check in every once in a while just to see how I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's always nice. Like, anyway, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I got quite a few more questions. Yeah, that's what the whole show is about. After all, it's an interview, right? So, you're a history major. So, what kind of initially drew you to history?
Well, mostly family history, actually.
Really?
My grandpa, my dad's side at least, is Chinese, and my grandpa came here during a event in China called Tiananmen Square, and Tiananmen Square is where a bunch of Chinese students were shot down by the Chinese government. At least that's how I understand it. My grandpa was protesting in front of the Chinese embassy at the time, and
dang, really,
and his and my dad and my grandma had to flee to the States.
Wow.
And on the other side, my mom's dad fought in the Vietnam War as a like a traffic control person.
Oh, okay.
And my great grandfather fought in World War II as a Navy SEAL. And his brother was captured by a Nazi and held in a POW camp.
Wow, dang! That's a lot of family history right there. My goodness.
I also have a World War I helmet from a distant ancestor, as well as a book from that ancestor, and a cabinet dating all the way back to the Civil War period.
Yeah, so then I can definitely see where your interest in history came from, because it seems like your entire family was, like, part of just several huge events. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I never would have guessed that. That's crazy, honestly. That's really interesting. So I guess that it makes sense why you were drawn to history then.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, like, mostly that, like, those eras, like the 1900s to the 2000s, is that, like, your main interest point, or
mostly the 1900s?
Okay.
In my opinion, World War One. Either I like think it's talked about much. I prefer World War One overall. World War One is a topic most people are starting to get more interested in. Mm-hmm. I'm noticing, but World War Two is still popular amongst media. Mm-hmm. Ever since the movie 1917, that is, World War One has become more of a big topic amongst people who enjoy that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely, like, going up there. I always found it interesting how in, like, schools and stuff, we kind of, like, skim over World War One,
but never, like,
and then go straight to World War Two. It's like, oh yeah, World War One happened in, like, one or two lectures, and then we spend, like, 3 weeks on World War Two, which, I mean, like, to be fair, World War Two essentially shaped our modern political landscape and the general scope of the world, but it still feels weird to ignore World War One, which directly led into World War Two.
Tell me about it. World War One, at least in my opinion, is the gateway to modern warfare as it is.
I mean, yeah, it essentially is, because at the end, it had the introduction of, like,
tanks,
modern tanks and stuff, and that completely revolutionized how wars are fought.
Yeah.
So.
Plus, some of the key players were in World War One. Churchill, I think, after Finland and Gallipoli, joined as a sergeant, as well as Hitler, because he was originally was an Austrian, but they never accepted him in the army, so he decided to join the German army. So, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of important events there that I feel like are
overlooked.
Glossed over and overlooked in at least high school and like middle school education. I don't personally have experience too much with like the college side, and maybe you can talk about that a little bit a second.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So like what's kind of like speaking of that, like kind of what's the history program like so far? I know you're only a freshman, but
The history program so far is decent enough. I mean, I'm not much of a reader. I personally learn better from watching movies and TV shows. It kind of applies better.
Some like documentaries and stuff?
Yeah, I kind of focus more on the visual than the reading.
Right.
But so far, all the professors, including the history professors, have been really accommodating.
Okay.
I'm actually surprised that I haven't been shut up, because I always like take over the conversation a lot.
Well, I think the thing about that is like, I guess it depends on what you're talking about, because if it's on topic, like...
Yeah, it's mostly on topic. Like, I have more to the
Okay, well, I would argue that's different because you're adding to the class discussion or whatever, or like the lecture or whatever it might be, because it's like, oh, well, maybe we didn't even think about this particular piece of information, but it kind of recontextualizes something. So I think that's one of the things I like about college, is that you can kind of... I don't know if take over is the right word, but like you can add to the conversation of like the lecture and then kind of help other people learn also.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, most of the history class have been really relaxed.
Okay.
And for instance, I think last week we talked about, well, World War One, and I added so much. I think I talked too much, to be honest. Like, that's something I always do with things I'm really interested in. I just keep on talking and talking for months and
for a while.
Why? Yeah,
yeah. I tend to do that sometimes. Also, when I get on something that I'm really into, so I have to like pull myself back up. Like, hold on, this is not entirely related to what's happening. Let me pull back a second.
No, it's like I always take over the class and everyone just shuts up.
Does nobody else talks?
Yeah, like, even when like I stop, I have like a feeling of anticipation, like they're waiting, like, is Andy going to answer? Is Andy going to answer?
Dude, that's how it is sometimes in like these college courses. It's like after like a teacher asks a question, there's like this weird awkward moment of silence.
Yeah.
That it seems to always happen until like... I always feel like I have to say something because I'm like, oh God, I can't take this silence anymore. It's gonna kill me. But like,
it's more like anticipation. Like they're waiting for me to answer because they know I'm gonna.
Because I know you're gonna answer, so they can rely on you. that is quite humorous. Though yeah, I do also have the tendency to ramble sometimes about that. It might be a family thing, honestly, because my brother does that too. He also just so happens to be on the autism spectrum as well.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. But he just so happens to be on that, so it's like we both talk a lot. Let's just say.
Who knows? Maybe you're on the spectrum.
Maybe I have no clue.
Usually, autism is genetic, so
I should maybe check that. I don't know. It's nothing I've. I just haven't thought. I just don't think about it too much. Like, oh, maybe I am, but I don't know. So, but kind of getting back onto the like history. So yeah, you're specifically interested in like the 1900s, right?
Is there
like a specific period of the 1900s, or is it just mostly like the whole thing?
World War One time period.
Just specifically World War One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I kind of like writing stories in my head, and I like playing D&D. That's one of my main hobbies, and usually I always use history as kind of a backdrop for my characters.
Mm.
For instance, one of my characters is an Elven soldier in a World War One like setting, who is a commander and got her arm blown off during a battle, and now she's trying to redeem herself after a catastrophic failure in a battle.
Yeah. That's always interesting when I hear, like, when you, like, look at kind of history and then you see how it, like, influences, like fiction around the time frame and then even in the future. It's like...
Oh, you have no
idea. Because history is essentially, like, the basis for... It's almost like a basis for fiction. Like, there's so many stories that are based off of, like, where it's, like, it seems completely unrelated, but it's then, like, very directly based off of, history. Like, a history event.
Yeah, look at, like, Star Wars, for instance. Yeah. Star Wars is a bit... based on Germany, if you could think about it.
At least because the Empire, at least. It's clearly based on, like...
the Jedi.
It's clearly based on, like, the Nazis during World War II and that kind of authoritarian...
Regime,
yeah. And, you know, there's that, like, everywhere in fiction in general, honestly. And that's always really cool to look at when I'm, like, looking at, like, historical things. I'm like, oh, this sounds familiar. And it's like, oh, well, it's because it's similar to this story I like or this show I like or this film I like.
Mark Twain once said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. Mm-hmm. History always has a similar pattern.
Yeah. And that's another interesting part of history is that it seems to always continuously rhyme and not repeat like Mark Twain's it, but, like, it seems to rhyme a bunch because you see, like, these similarities. And then learning from history is super interesting because it's like you can look at what happens, like what choices people made, and then see the outcomes of that and then be able to potentially apply that to modern day. It's like, okay, well, if they made this choice in the past and this led to this bad outcome, maybe we can do something different and lead to a good outcome.
But personally, I believe us humans are a bit too dense.
Sometimes, definitely, especially in a lot of politics, it seems like we have a tendency to repeat ourselves quite often.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Okay, what's the next question?
What are you planning on doing with your history degree outside of college?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
I have an idea, but I'm not exactly sure what to do. Maybe anthropology.
You have an anthropology program. You might want to look into that potentially.
Yeah, one of my biggest dreams in life was to write a cartoon based on my characters. Like, mm-hmm. become the next big TV show that inspires future generations.
Okay.
I might still do that, but I want to explore the world more.
That's fair. Like, get a better perspective of things around the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff. Yeah.
I want to go to, like, I don't know, Greece, Egypt. I want to go to places I haven't been to in my entire life.
Yeah.
I travel quite a lot in my life, but those key areas I always dreamed of going one of these days. Especially someplace in Africa, like learning about the cultures and history behind that.
Right, yeah, because especially in Africa, it's so different from other areas in the world. I mean, like, you get that kind of feel, that culture shock, as it's called, like, in any place, but, like, especially in Africa, it's so, there's so many different cultures just in, like, singular countries.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Quite
overwhelming. I mean, I imagine, yeah, because there's so much culture in the area. Yeah. It's crazy.
And the food. I always say a good trip is both food and history.
that's kind of true, yeah.
If there's good food and history and even bad experiences, because bad experiences always make the best stories.
I mean, like, that is kind of true. You always have those, like, terrible experiences you have, like, on, like, a family trip or something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's the family story for years. You tell it at every gathering and stuff like that.
Like, I got a heat stroke once in Italy and China.
Oh, my goodness.
And in Italy, I got so bad that on the way back, I kind of got sick on the streets.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I was so dehydrated.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, especially when you're, like, walking around a bunch like I imagine you were.
You have no idea. Yeah. And the train was, like, packed, like, one of the trains was packed like sardines.
Oh, no.
Off of graffiti.
Yeah, that wouldn't exactly help with that.
Yeah, people literally surprisingly, I did not get sick on that train.
Well, that's good, at least.
Like, people literally laid on the ground. There was no seats. It was so packed. People, like, laid down.
Yeah.
It was so packed.
I imagine, yeah.
But it was fun. I mean, Italy is one of the best places for food and culture, at least in my opinion.
So you sounds like you've traveled a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Throughout your life? Like, where have you all gone to?
China, England, France, Amsterdam, and most recently, Italy.
Very cool.
And I plan to travel to Japan this summer.
Oh, really, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it in December?
No, this summer.
Oh, summer. Sorry, I misheard you. That's my bad.
It's fine.
Nope. I was like, Oh, dang, that's cool. But yeah, summer, that's really cool, yeah. Yeah. That's very neat.
I could always bring something back.
Maybe. We'll be right back with more Voices of UCM, brought to you by Rise Community Services.
That's the sound of a door slamming in your face. That's the sound heard by many individuals living with a disability. But it doesn't have to be. Rise Community Services is committed to opening doors, not closing them. We believe that each person deserves a life that is full of hope and empowered by self-choice. If you or a loved one need help, please visit watchusrise.org.
A degree in digital media production with an emphasis in sports communication will enhance your knowledge in multi-camera live sports productions, in addition to writing for sports media. Our faculty members bring real-world experience to the classroom, and students can showcase their work through different media outlets, including live streaming under the MIAA Network, UCMCTV, and digitalberg.com. For more information on this, please visit ucmo.edu/DMP.
Welcome back to Voices of UCM, brought to you by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with freshman history major Andy Zhang. We continued our discussion by talking more about Andy's plans for his degree and his transition to college life. I had my next question pulled up, and then I completely forgot. I got to look at it again. Oh, no, it wasn't the next question. It was going back to what you could do after college. I was thinking, for history, at least specifically, a history degree, I think, that would be either historian or history teacher. Those are the only two real options.
Archaeology is one.
I mean archaeology, but that's more of in specifically anthropology.
But anthropology and history connect.
I mean they definitely intersect. I'm just saying that I'm not sure the job market. If you specifically have a history major and you're trying to go into archaeology, I don't know how that would transfer over. That's all I'm saying.
Historical anthropology is a field.
I mean, yeah. And obviously you're still a freshman, so yeah. It's very early on. I'm not expecting you to have I'm gonna idea. Do this, and do it in this order, in this way.
Honestly, I've been having that idea for years.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, I always had this. I always think ahead more than I do think the present. I never think the
tell
present.
Me about it.
I just think the future.
That's how I am too. I'm always thinking when I'm doing something actively, sitting here actively talking to you and stuff. I'm thinking, okay, what am I gonna do later today? What work do I have to get done later? It's when I really should be thinking about what's happening here in the now, but a lot of the time
it's your anxiety, man.
It does. It sneaks up on me.
Yeah,
and I'm not expecting it.
The assignments, for instance, most of the time I talk to myself saying, I have to do this, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes sometimes. But yeah, I was gonna say, you could definitely, I've taken a few anthropology classes.
I actually taken two already.
Have you? What have you taken?
Professor Marsh.
Dr. Marsh, yeah.
In biological anthropology, and currently I'm taking cultural anthropology.
Okay.
Honestly, I thought biological anthropology was more cultural anthropology when I signed up.
Oh, was it? Did you think? Isn't that human prehistory? Is that right?
Yeah. I thought it was cultural anthropology.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's the introductory anthropology course, and that's what I ended up with that just by complete chance because my advisor signed me up first semester of freshman year.
So. I thought it was actually quite interesting. I got a C, but still.
I definitely think it's very interesting, and it was interesting being there and then not really knowing anything about anthropology and being very much intrigued, and I think that's very much so up to Dr. Marsh. I'm a big fan of her teaching style. She's very kind of loose,
energetic.
Very energetic, clearly very passionate about it.
That's the type of teacher I like.
Yeah, that's the type of teachers that work the best. The ones that are the really energetic ones, very clearly passionate about their work. Not in just teaching, but in their field.
Yeah. And so far, all the professors I encountered are pretty much like that.
Mm-hmm.
All the professors have some sense of energy about them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the interesting things about college is coming from high school where it's everyone's there's still definitely some passionate teachers there, but it seems some of them aren't on that level, aren't quite on that level.
Tell me about it.
It's
my school was slow. High school was slowly dying.
Oh, was it? Oh, dang.
We only had like four graduates, including myself.
Dang, what the heck? Four graduates?
Our school was a school for special needs kids. I'm not going to mention it here, but the school was downsizing from the high schoolers.
Oh, dang. Okay.
And it became such a joke that we called ourselves the last generation of high schoolers. We're going extinct. That was like a joke.
Dang, that's kind of unfortunate that the school wasn't working out too well. But it looks like you were at least able to get here. At least that's.
I was the second to last high school graduate.
Oh dang! So they were like really like and downsizing
last,
the program.
Yeah, and last December was the graduates this year.
Oh dang! Yeah. So they were really knocking that out then. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we can go ahead. I'm gonna move on to the next kind of little section here. So kind of how's college life been for you? Like living on campus, like adapting to the new situation? What's that kind of been like?
I'm not really organized.
Okay.
I've never been organized, but I'm really bad at being organized.
It's all right. I mean, like, I'm sure plenty of people can relate to that.
My room is a disaster.
Is it not great?
I'm going to try to clean up this weekend, but still, like, I always procrastinate, like, I'm going to do this later, do that later.
Oh,
and
right,
then it
yeah.
just sneaks up, and then, like, oh, shoot.
It's just hard to think about sometimes. That happens to me sometimes when I'm just, like, at home. I live with my parents still, so, and I commute out here, but, like, I still help around the house and stuff, but, like, some days I'm like, oh, I need to clean this, and then I just completely forget about it until I go into that room again. I'm like, oh, I need to clean this. And then that cycle just keeps happening for a while. And then I'm like, one of the days I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit down and take this out and do it. But yeah, getting over that kind of feeling is kind of tough sometimes.
But overall, my social life, at least I like to think, it's gone decent.
Yeah.
I made tons of new friends. I even joined the D&D group.
That's good.
And I had lots of new friends. And actually for once in a really long time, I actually feel accepted amongst my peers in some regard.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really good.
Because, like, for the aforementioned high school, really small school.
I imagine.
Really small classes.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine it was basically, like, you have the four people in your classes, and that's kind of it.
And
so.
I knew them since elementary school.
Yeah, so.
Some.
Limiting, like, your social circle that much, I imagine, probably wasn't the best experience in the world.
Oh, it wasn't.
Yeah, we don't have to get in super deep into it, but.
Oh, no, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm okay with complaining about this.
Okay.
But, like, I have friends, but, mm-hmm. like, it was never huge enough that I had, like, massive parties.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was before Christmas break, I had my first college party, and it was interesting.
Yeah, college parties are, I haven't gone to any personally, but I've heard stories of them. Was it pretty crazy?
It was crazy-ish.
Okay, crazy-ish.
But it wasn't as big as I thought, but still, it was big.
Yeah.
Bigger than I'm used to.
I'm not, like, a huge party guy either. I, like, even throughout high school, I went to, like, a pretty large high school, like, 500 people graduating class type of high school, and I only really, really knew, like, my small little circle of friends, basically. There's other people I was, like, very, very, like, close, like, acquaintances with and stuff. But, like, there was only really, like, close group of friends that I really had. But it's kind of nice in a way because you don't have to worry about as many people. So it's kind of nice in that regard. But also it
gets boring after a while.
It does.
Yeah,
like getting new perspectives is really important in life. Not only for, like, friendships, but in general and stuff, so.
I shared the same story about Red Lobster a couple of times to my close friends.
Oh, yeah.
And
it gets bored after a while.
Yeah. I still use Red Lobster as a way for really bad issues.
And now I'm curious. Now you're going to have to tell the story here.
Okay. So I was dating this person a while back, and I was really sick. I was getting over a sickness, and we went to Red Lobster with my family.
Is this going to be, like, super gross, or...?
It's going to be...
Did you, like, throw up or something, or
no,
is it, like...
No, I haven't thrown up. It was, like, we had our dinner, and everyone except my brother had, like, really bad stomach pains.
Oh, dang.
And everyone occupied certain bathrooms.
Everyone was just struggling?
Yeah.
Dang.
And ever since then, like, ever since I had,
we
like...
We just don't go back.
Yeah, issue. I caught it a red lobster.
It's a red lobster
like,
issue.
Oh God, I need to take a red lobster.
Dang, okay. That's, well, now we know the context behind that, I guess. So, like, has living like, like, are you living in, like,
I'm living in one of the
dorms?
Yeah.
Okay.
Halsey, to be specific.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's actually been decent.
Okay.
Sharing the bathroom has been a bit difficult to get used to, but that's...
Is it, like, one of the really small ones? Because you're also sharing it? Is that right?
Or? To tell you the truth, I'm not good. It's just I always forget to unlock the door.
Oh, okay.
It's really easy to forget that.
Is there, like, a...
I kind of get...
What do you mean lock the door? I'm kind of confused now.
Like, it's a two-way bathroom.
Like, where you have, like, the two rooms sharing the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And, like, it's... And on the other side, I always lock the door. And during the first semester, I kept on forgetting to unlock
it.
Yeah, but I'm kind of getting used to it.
Okay, well, that's good,
decent
at least.
Enough.
Don't
want to
deprive your...
Roommates.
Your roommates, essentially, of the bathroom.
Sweet mate, actually. To be
sweet mates, yeah, that would be the proper term, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, was the transition, we were kind of talking about this, but was like transition from living at home to living on college kind of tough or?
Eh,
okay.
Kind of. I felt my independence for once.
That's good.
My dad in specific is really anxious about lots of things. So
yeah.
He always worries about what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's rubbed off on me to a point where like, I just don't, like I said, don't think in the present. It's just, I think about the future. Like, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? And like, he's so paranoid that if I step a toe, he says we're going to have to amputate it.
That kind of paranoid, huh? Dang.
He cares, but man,
it's
rubs
a little
off.
I imagine it's a little overbearing
at
some point.
Yeah, it rubs off.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. So, but it sounds like it wasn't too bad of a transition there.
Ah, nah,
okay.
It wasn't. Still getting used to certain things, but mostly cleaning.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. And work.
Oh yeah, do you work and stuff too?
Oh no. Like I mean,
okay.
Schoolwork.
Oh right, schoolwork. Yeah. How is your your load of schoolwork? Is it manageable?
Eh.
Eh.
I mean,
I imagine it probably depends on the week, honestly.
Yeah, like I have a 1,000-word essay due next Wednesday, and I have to like cite sources as well.
Right. Yeah.
I also have a Chinese test due next Monday that I need to study for.
Mm-hmm.
I also have an anthropology thing and another test due next Thursday.
Yeah.
So.
I
can manage it.
For specifically next week, it's the week before spring break, so it kind of makes sense, but like.
I can manage.
It's still a lot, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's still a ton of work going into there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Do you plan on, working at any point? Just
I'm planning to
out of curiosity?
Usually, I'm planning to work in the summer.
Okay.
Because it's my leisure time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm planning to, for this year, at least try to get my learner's permits.
Oh, for like driving?
Driving.
Yeah, that's
permit.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah, because I need that then.
Yeah.
I need that.
Getting a car is a game changer.
Yeah.
It was a game changer for me because I didn't have to ask my mom to drive me everywhere or like figure out transportation between like cars and stuff.
Because
it's just like, oh, I can just drive down to the store and pick whatever I need instead of having to wait until like the weekend whenever we can all go.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially like if you drink lots of sodas as I do.
Yeah, because right now my brother is got his permit. He's working on his license right now, but that's been a whole thing.
Okay.
A whole process. Yeah. Stay tuned for more after this break. Voices of UCM is sponsored by Rise Community Services.
Every minute, there are 6 children born in the U.S., and one of them will be born with a developmental disability. RISE Community Services believes that an individual's potential doesn't vanish simply because they were born with a unique set of challenges. We believe that each person deserves a life full of hope and empowered by self-choice. If you or a loved one need help, please visit watchusrise.org.
A degree in digital media production with an emphasis in audio will enhance your skill set for work in radio, television, film, and beyond. Our faculty members bring real-world experience to the classroom, and students can showcase their work on UCM Radio The Beat, as well as in film projects and live events. For more information on this or other concentrations within the Digital Media Production Program, please visit ucmo.edu/DMP.
You're listening to Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with freshman history major Andy Jang. We finish our talk by discussing Andy's autism and his experiences living with it. So, I think we can go ahead and start talking about specifically your autism.
Okay.
So, if you had to describe what it's like to like live with autism to someone who may not be aware of it, how would you kind of describe that?
It's different for everyone, but usually you're worried and you are really blunt. You can lie, at least for me. You can't keep secrets, which is also for me. You're just really blunt,
right?
And you can't exactly tell really slight emotions, like sarcasm. And usually you have to ask, are you being sarcastic right now? But, yeah. And depending on what you're, some autistic people, from what I understand, have special abilities. Mine, for instance, is smell and taste. Certain smells and tastes bother me to no end, like cheese.
There's and like there's certain like, I think they're called like overstimulants, basically.
Yeah. Cheese, and unmelted cheese in specific, and any condiments like ketchup, relish,
right? Yeah,
something like that.
So, okay, yeah, I think those my brother used to have like a similar thing with like really loud sounds. That was like his like overstimulant. Like he was like he was not a fan of that. He's thankfully he's gotten better with it, obviously. But like, but yeah, as far as I understand, autism is like it's like a spectrum where it's like everyone on it is there's like slightly different things.
Yeah,
it's like a pretty huge variety of things overall.
Actually, sound is, from what I've known and seen many, is most commonly associated with autism.
Right. Yeah.
Now mine is different with smell and taste. Like, I rarely see or hear people talk about that in media. It's mostly just sounds.
Yeah.
Which kind of bothers me.
Well, in media, like, autistic representation is basically non-existent in, like, general, like, TV shows and movies and stuff. For the most part, there's obviously still, like, exceptions and stuff. But
yeah, like Community, for instance.
Oh, is there in Community? I haven't seen Community.
Oh, it's a great show, actually. Okay. I kind of actually, Community is a show about a community college group, like the Breakfast Club, and one of them is named Abed. He's really obsessed with pop culture references, and he's also autistic.
Okay.
But as I was saying, autism is, as you said, autism is a huge spectrum. Mine is just one story. Some people have more difficulties, some people have less difficulties. My main difficulty is reading people and just basic feeling stuff on my body. Like, I can't tell if my clothes are on backwards or something.
Oh, right, yeah. So, yeah, that was always one of the most interesting things about, like, autism in specific is that it's not really like other, I don't know what the proper word is here, but it's not really like other
learning disabilities.
Yeah, because of the wide variety of on the spectrum, it's like,
well, almost all disabilities have that.
Yeah,
in a sense.
But like, it's
autism is mostly accepted for that spectrum.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's something that should be taught more. It should be taught like, hey, all of these are kind of like a spectrum, and then everyone on them is different because
that would be so helpful.
But it's like, the media doesn't do that though, like, and it, and like in teaching it, it's not really taught anywhere. It's mostly like, it's mostly only talked about if it like directly comes up.
Another thing about autism, real quick, is being like interrupting a lot. Like, you interrupt a lot. Like, if you meet me and we start discussion and talking, and then I interrupt, I'm sorry.
I mean, like, but it's like,
so sorry.
But it's not, it doesn't seem like it's, you're not trying to be rude.
Yeah, no.
You're just like,
it's hard.
You're just wanting to find that place to come into the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, there's definitely a difference between, like, interrupting when you're excited to talk about whatever you're talking about and then, like, interrupting because you're like, oh, shut up, let me talk, you know?
Yeah.
There's a very clear line differentiating those.
Yeah. Your next question.
So do you think like UCM does a good job accommodating your autism?
Honestly, yeah.
That's good.
To speak in someone in particular, my comprehension tea professor, mm-hmm. Taft, is really accommodating.
That's good.
He's really kind, and he's my second favorite English teacher so far. Okay. Yeah, almost like everyone I meet in this college, professor, student, are really nice.
That's good.
Although it's possibly my anxiety, but I always feel like people are talking behind my back. But anxiety.
I think everyone's kind of like that. Yeah. I also think about that when really it's like...
Yeah. They're talking about something else.
Chances are they're not talking about you. And chances are they're just talking about something completely unrelated. But it's like everyone has that anxiety, like... That like, oh, they're talking behind my back. You'll mess up once, and it's like, oh, now they're gonna talk about it for years when they don't even remember it the next day. You know?
Yeah, it's just this weird like self anxiety. Like,
it's a weird feeling.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think that's everyone gets that to some extent.
Well, at least I'm not alone. If it's really nice.
It's. I think most people are like that at some point. Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess that kind of answers my next question. Like, do you feel, like, fairly treated on campus? You feel like you're...
Decent enough. I actually met a couple of people who's on the spectrum already, and all of them are really kind.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who's on the spectrum, at least from everyone here, treats people respectively and answers most of the time questions really openly.
That's good.
Sometimes I feel isolated, but I always find new groups to join, like you and Dylan and the other guys.
Yeah.
It feels really nice to join that. Like, for a couple of months when I first joined this college, I felt, like, isolated and alone. But when I joined you guys, it felt like I had, I don't know, a group of older brothers.
You have that group, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, having, like, that small kind of tightly knit group, that's, like, super big for just live, especially like when you're starting to live on your own.
Yeah.
Like if you can have like a group to fall back on potentially if like
something bad happens.
You just want something bad happens or like you just want to hang out, you know? You just want to have a good time with some and talk to some people, you know?
Yeah, like I always consider Tyler my college older brother.
Yeah, Tyler, yeah.
He introduced me to one of my new hobbies, Warhammer 40K.
Oh yeah, I forgot you're getting into that, weren't you? Yeah, you just got the box set. That's right. Mhm.
Still one in a tie, but better than nothing.
I mean, like, take what you can get, right?
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, crap. I had something I was going to say, but then I completely forgot about it. Give me just a second here. I can cut this out later. I probably will cut it out later if I remember. but, like, so kind of what was it like living, like, at home and having autism and going to, like, the special needs school and stuff?
Well, at first, my family was concerned, but they accepted me.
That's good.
Like, only in middle school, I got my diagnosis, and they were worried about me. So they put me on a medicine, which I'm not going to name because, A, it's my nickname is kind of bad.
Okay.
But, and second...
I
don't remember it.
Okay.
But this medicine made me so, like, docile and basically made me lobotomized.
Oh, dang.
And I can't remember anything of that year. I mean anything.
Dang, wow. That's...
Sucks. I knew I was bullied, but I don't remember anything.
Dang. Yeah, that's... That's not... especially good, but it sounds like we were able to
get past that. Yeah, later on they accepted me. Yeah,
that's good.
And with the school, I was always considered a weird kid at first, but then I
really in like even in that small like a small group like that.
Oh yeah,
like that's interesting.
At least in middle school, I was
okay. In middle school, yeah.
In high school, I became the popular kid because I was one of the only high schoolers.
I was like
Bigfoot.
Oh, you were like every time his father was like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. But I mean, because that's why I asked about like weird kids, the weird kid section. I can't talk the weird kid like thing because I assume that you meant in high school, but then.
Middle school, the weird kid.
I mean, like in middle school, it's like, middle school is not good. I'll tell you, middle school is just not great.
All middle schoolers, in my opinion, are jerks.
They're just—it's just—it's just the worst time frame.
I hate middle school.
It's just not good time frame because, like, everyone's starting to go through puberty. They don't really know
what's going on.
They still don't really know what's going on with the world. They still don't really know what they want to do. And so they try all these different things.
This reminds me of a story real quick. So we had a project in this Makerspace project called I forgot the exact name, but the idea was make a paper town and make your own government.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to become dictator of the town and declared war on the paper town.
That's kind of funny.
It's stupid.
I mean, like, yeah, but, like, that's... I mean, like, things like little things like that are just always fun to remember, like little school projects and stuff where you got to, like, express yourself a little bit, even if it isn't, like, some silly way like that, like, oh, I'm going to be the dictator of Paper Town. But, like, that's... It's fun, right?
Yeah. They even made a phony peace treaty.
That's kind of funny.
Kids.
But yeah, in general, like specifically middle school. I remember middle school and I mean, like it's an important time frame, but like
man was
most people you talk to are like, "Oh yeah, middle school was awful."
Yeah, I
hate what's weird is that when I talk to my brother about middle school, he's like, "Oh yeah, I love middle school." And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Middle school was awful, man.
It was not great for me. It wasn't great for me, at least. And it wasn't great for 90% of people.
Including myself.
I mean, like, yeah, it's just like I said, it's that weird, awkward time where it's like everyone's trying to figure out what they're doing, what they want to do, and then they kind of just start only caring about themselves at that point.
I think I got pants at a girl's birthday party once.
Oh, that sounds miserable. My goodness, what the heck?
It was like a president, like it was this...
what the heck?
There was the son of a previous principal of a school I used to go.
What? What is the... What?
It was awful, man.
That sounds miserable. Let's not delve too much into that. That does not sound like a good time. My God. Good Lord, man.
What's your next question, then?
I gotta think for a second. That completely threw me off my game. It's not your fault. I just wasn't expecting that.
Like, oh, you'll be surprised all the horrors I witnessed have done.
Well, I'm glad that you're able to look forward beyond those, because like something like that, if that happened to me, I would not, that would be like horrible.
Originally it was traumatizing, but now
I imagine.
But now I'm looking back at it, I thought, wow, my life, wow, that was awful.
I mean, yeah, that's terrible. And I can't believe you went through that.
Yeah, and eventually everyone hated that kid because he said it's thin to a certain kid.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to go into details.
Probably because I imagine he probably said some really bad
stuff.
Yeah,
but she was my bully, first of all.
Okay, yeah.
Now though I dislike her.
Yeah.
I really dislike her.
I mean,
I feel bad for her.
I mean, like...
I feel so bad.
If you, like... I mean, like, if you torment someone and you're, like... And that person is, like... And that person doesn't dislike you, then that doesn't make any sense, right? Like,
yeah.
It makes sense for you to not like her, especially if she's the one that did that thing to you and then other stuff.
Oh, no,
well.
She wasn't...
She was a different person.
She was, like, a puppeteer kind of girl.
She wasn't even the mastermind behind it. It was someone else.
No, but, like, she was the one who bullied me in sixth grade.
Okay.
Last time I checked, she was in an asylum.
Oh, wow. Dang.
I feel so bad for her.
That's
I don't
that's
like
not
her,
great.
But I still feel bad.
Yeah, that's not great. That sounds like that she had some...
Issues.
Some issues as well. Yeah, that's unfortunate. That
yeah.
They had, but it seems like you're able to... You were at least able to...
Move past it.
I was about to say get over, but that move past it's way better... A way better phrase to say that. Well, I'm sorry that you had to go through, sounds like, a lot there. But
to quote Joker, I originally thought my life was a tragedy, but now I think it's a comedy.
Well, I mean, like, that kind of happens sometimes when you're, like, looking back at, like,
yeah.
Stuff where it's like, oh, this was, like, terrible to me, but it's, like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's actually really funny. Like,
just thinking about, like, the comedy of it when you're not in the moment, when it's been like years and years and years and you can like reflect on it, even if it happened to me and it was like horrible at the time and it was bad, but it's like it's weirdly fun to look back on.
Yeah
it's definitely like that's definitely like a strange feeling.
I wonder what that kid is.
I would have no clue, but who knows.
What's your next question?
I don't know if I actually have. I think we're kind of winding down here. I had something I was gonna say. And then I forgot it. I don't remember. Let's just, you know, I have an idea. We'll go ahead and talk about So where, what kind of plan, what other plans do you have after after you're done with college, if you have any, because I know you're a freshman and stuff.
But start a family.
Start a family.
To have two kids, mm-hmm. and to try to have an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Travel a bunch, yeah.
Yeah, because each experience is an adventure. Mm-hmm. The good, the bad, the ugly. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is an adventure.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to phrase that sort of thing. But, like, do you have any plans of, like, where you're going to, like, settle down maybe? Like in
Canada.
Canada? Yeah.
Mostly because it's European and it's snowy.
It's slightly European, yeah. Any, like, specific province in Canada or just, like...
Somewhere near the coast so I could travel.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Also, I like the snow. Mm-hmm, it makes me feel cozy.
The snow is really nice. I do like snow quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with like a nice cup of tea and cookies.
Yeah, like sitting next to the window watching the snow come down.
God, that sounds
the
so
fireplace.
Nice. Crackling with wood.
Yeah, that kind of vibe. I also enjoy that quite a bit. That's why winter is like always my favorite. Just because I also just like wearing like longer sleeve clothes more personally. But
I like winter because it just feels homey.
It feels nice. Yeah. It's a nice feeling.
I kind of miss having a house. My family moved into an apartment.
Oh, dang, yeah.
So I don't hear like the pitter-patter of snow on the roof.
You don't have that quite. It's not the same vibe living in an apartment, yeah.
It's in the city, too, so it's.
Oh, yeah. Like, is it in Kansas City or?
Kansas City.
Okay, yeah.
It's not the same.
Mm-hmm. All right, well. I guess that's a good place to
end
to end it off on. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, Andy.
It's
very
always
open
my
and
pleasure.
Being very open and talking about it. I appreciate that you're willing to talk about that. I think it's an important thing to talk about because, especially with autism, it's not talked about, like I was saying. So I think it's definitely important to highlight that sort of thing.
Yeah, and if it is talked about, it's most of the time talked about with stereotypes.
Yeah, it unfortunately is. So I'm glad that hopefully we'll be able to clear some of those up with this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have a good day, y'all.
This has been Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Be sure to tune in next week at 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Saturday. You can listen to the show at ucmbeat.com on either the live feed or at any time by going to the Shows tab and finding the Voices of UCM tab. Once again, I'm your host, Andrew Zellner, and we'll talk again next time on Voices of UCM.